Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Praise God.
Yes.
Let's do it. Thank you, Lord. Help us. Hey.
We want to take just a moment. It's our pastor's birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Big John. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Now let's praise God.
Stay standing.
Message of the cross, and we speak about the cross, and we paint pictures of the cross, and we tell people the story of the cross, because that's where God made the deal with us through the blood of Jesus that said, I will be your God, I will be your Lord and Savior, I will forgive you of your sins, and I will love you forever. That's what we just sang about. Isn't that awesome? So as we go on, keep praising the God who came after us, who comes, who keeps coming after us and never stops coming after us. Be alert to what he might say to you and how he might lead you in the service today.
You.
say something when they switch instruments. That was it. All right, 90s class. As 90s class goes, I want to say this with all reverence and respect to the Lord our God, how grateful I am for the chaos of these little ones running through our building. There ain't nothing like it. We're a family. We're not cleansed, institutionalized, and all that sanitary, whatever we've got to be sanitized from any kind of life. This is a place where life happens, amen? Aren't you glad? I'm glad we're a family. Families are noisy, messy, and sometimes painful, but it's the best we get, okay? And that's what we are, and I'm glad about that. That's what the church is. God made us to be a family in all that that entails. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, continuing our series in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to start at verse 18 and go through the end of the chapter. So if you have your Bible with you, you can read along, or it should be up on the board. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through foolishness, the foolishness of the message preached, to save those who believe. For the Jew requests a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us such a powerful message in your word. A word that you've spoke long ago that still carries all the weight of when it was first spoken. It's fresh. And Lord, help us to cling to you, to hide your word in our heart, to allow you through your spirit to shape us by your word, that we might catch on to your view, that we might take your perception, that we might look to you and to you only, strip away from us all the other so-called wisdom or philosophy or strategy or everything else that might try to cloud you and crowd you out. Lord, we love you. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of messages, y'all. There's a lot of things. When it comes to church stuff, there's a whole lot that goes on. A lot of discipline, a lot of teaching, a lot of things. But I want to make it simple, especially right here at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. He's wanting to make it simple. Before he corrects the church on everything wrong that they were doing, you know, we did hear last week, he corrected them on not being... He told them, don't be divided, be together in Christ. But before he goes any further, he's going to lay this on a firm foundation. And the foundation for Christians and the foundation for the church of Jesus Christ is nothing less than Jesus Christ crucified. It's the sacrifice of love that God the Father gave to us. It's the sacrifice of God saying, listen, I will stop at nothing to come and get you. So before any other correction, before anything else goes on, if that is not your foundation, if that's not the foundation of a church, all you got is a religion. You got something that gives you some order to your life, It gives you some habit to follow. It gives you something to feel good about, like you belong to something that's important. But all that's a lie. Because a religion without a relationship is a ticket to hell as much as being any other kind of sinner in the world. Religious sinners don't get a pass. Just because they do the right things, say the right things, wear the right things, show up at the right time. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you do all the other right things, you'll be like the men and the women in the Gospel of Matthew who are saying, Lord, Lord, at the end of the age, before the judgment seat, Lord, Lord, didn't we not cast out demons in your name, preach the gospel in your name, do miracles in your name? Do you remember what he said to them? He said, depart from me. Your works are iniquity. He said, you workers of iniquity. But they were casting out demons, and they were preaching, and they were doing miracles in Jesus' name. How could those works be sinful? Because it was empty. Because it was religion. And we know that because of what he says next. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you and forgot you. He didn't say, remember when we had such a good time when you were younger, but now as you're older, you got busy in life and you forgot me. He said, I didn't know you then, I don't know you now, and nothing you did in my name in that religious fervor of yours is going to buy you a ticket to heaven. You've got to come to lay it down. It's only the message of the cross that gets a person into heaven. It's only what Christ has done. It's only coming to him, hands up in surrender all the way. Lord, I got nothing. I bring nothing. I am nothing. But you've given me everything. And my one defense, my one thing I'm going to say, the one thing I have is that Jesus Christ gave himself for me. That's my only plea. That's it. That's all I got. I'm not going to tell him about the reforms that happened in my life. I'm not going to tell him how he found me so low, and yet through his spirit and through his work and through the word and through his people that he built me up and built me up. I'm not going to remind him of those things. I'm not going to take pleasure that demons are subject to me in the name of Jesus. I'm going to rejoice in the fact that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no message. There is no work. There is no discipline. There is nothing. Not that Christians offer, non-Christians offer, nobody offers that can do anything for you. The message of the cross has to come first. If you get that out of order, you'll be confused. You want to know why there's a lot of confused people? Because we get that out of order. We try to grow into being saved. Well, you can't grow into being saved. You got to be saved. And then you can grow. That's never going to change. You don't mature somebody into heaven. They got to be born again. You know, they don't get to earn it, and they're finishing their last step into heaven training when they die. But that's what makes sense to us. We want to earn it. We want to know, can we measure it? Can I check this box off and that box off and these boxes off? Can I say I got there? Can I be confident? Can you give me a certificate or something? Can you give me something to hold on to? You know, the Spirit of God's kind of invisible. God, you're kind of, Jesus is, you know, he's up there with you. Can you give me something? Can you give me something? Something I can hold on to, show my friends a shiny token that says, I'm on my way to heaven. See that? Because I did X, Y, Z. Do you see how I made it, how good it is? No. Listen to this verse again. It's so awesome. It says, the message of the cross, it's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who believe, to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What a stark contrast. And can I tell you, the religions and the philosophies of this day, he's talking to these Greeks. He's talking to these Corinthians who lived just south of Athens, the home of all these great philosophies and philosophers. And everybody is wondering, how do you live the good life? What's the right way to live? What's the wise life? What's that solid, substantial life to live? What would recommend us to God and to heaven? And they had all kinds of ideas. Some said, don't show any emotion. Some said, only live by emotion. Some said, maybe do a little emotion and a little non-emotion. There's all kinds of philosophies. There's all kinds of things that people were saying. But all of them had this in common. You got to earn it. You got to earn it. You got to work for it. Oh, it's so foolish for them to say, and let me say it, let me be the fool today. If you're stuck in that philosophy, if you're still trying to earn it, let me stand up and be a fool in your eyes. But God saves you because he loves you. And you can search high and low for another reason. You can look all through your resume. You can consider all the work you've done. You can tally up all the money you've given. You can do whatever you want to do. But God saves you because he loves you. Period. The message of the cross is a message of a God who looked at his creation and said, I love you too much to leave you, and I'm going to make sure you and I can be together forever. And before the Spirit of God inspires the apostle to go on and correct this wayward church, he said, I want to remind you about the message of the cross. Because I don't want you to get to a point where you think at some point you're doing these things to earn it and to get saved, because you're not. It's only saved by the love of God, what he's done for us through Christ on the cross. We all get that? And I know we can say, you know, that's one of those hearty amen points. Amen, brother. I won't sound like Billy Graham. Amen, brother. I want to tell you here from Asheville, North Carolina, that Jesus is good. Then from Grenada, Mississippi, Jesus is good. And we ain't got nothing but him. And if that bothers some folks, they just got to be bothered. I mean, you can't amend it. We can't go around it. We can't go under them. That's it. You're going to be saved, and at the end of the day, you ain't going to have no one else to point to but God and God only. They ain't never going to be about what you accomplished. That's where we get into some things. Now, before we get into some of these things, let me say this. God wants everybody to be saved. Now, I didn't say everybody would be saved. I said, but God wants everybody to be saved. And that's just not my bleeding heart. I'm looking at Doc Richardson, who's saying, you sissy. You bleeding heart, sissy, preacher, beard, and I can read his mind like a book. It's a short read. And anyways, can't chase that rabbit. Don't even know where I'm going now. But the point is, don't mess me up, Doc. Thanks a lot. All you had to do was sit there. God wants everybody to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I think it's chapter 2. It's chapter 2 or 3. It's in there. It's chapter 2. Verses 4, 3 and 4. It says, this is a good and acceptable saying to God our Savior, that God our Savior, and then there it starts in the verse 4, who desires that all men, and that word is not gender specific, that's the word for all mankind, that desires that all people are saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's the word of God. We just celebrated Christmas that night, that long ago, right? Just last, month and a half ago. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, this is a good and acceptable saying, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So I can guarantee you, on biblical basis, without any shadow of a doubt, it's God's desire to save everybody. Everybody in this place, everybody in this city, state, country, and world. That's what he wants. Amen. And that comes first. That's how we establish our relationship. Secondly, he wants everybody that's saved to grow. He does want us to grow. Doesn't every loving parent want their child to mature and grow? We do. We want that. But can you imagine, you ever know how they do the growth percentiles? Can you imagine a parent coming up and their daughter is in the 80th percentile for her height and weight? And we said, not good enough. Not enough growth. I don't know what we're going to do with you. My love for you is not that great. Wouldn't that be weird? Can you imagine saying to a child, maybe somebody has, there's some weird parents out there, but maybe you say when they bring home the report card and they got some B's and C's, you say, well, you know, I'd love you more if you got A's. Now, I don't know any parents that say that, nor some act like that. And we want our kids to do good and grow, don't we? We love them less if they don't grow? No. What? Come on, Rachel. No, we love our kids. We don't love them on the basis of that they grow or not. Golly, did you not fall in love with your children before you even met them? Didn't you start praying for them when they're inside baking in the oven? Didn't you start thinking about them and start praying for them and start wishing for them and start dreaming about them and start doing all that? You grew attached to them and you saw them and you just loved them. You don't want them to do stupid things. Don't get me wrong. You don't want them to grow up and be... Hey, Randy. Okay, I'm sorry. You don't want them to grow up and do stupid things. You want them to mature and be strong and be healthy. And God wants his children to be mature, strong, and healthy. But his love for you ain't based on your growth. He don't ask me for a report. How are they growing? They reading? They praying? They tithing? They church going? They witnessing? Well, Lord, I got to tell you, kind of slack. He says, all right. All right. You know, I can replace them. God's not Beyonce. Aren't you glad? Beyonce sang this song, said, to the left, that's right, to the left, everything you got in a box to the left. I can have another one of you. She's talking about her man friend. Said, there'll be another one of you here in a minute. You think you're irreplaceable. That's the name of the song. You think you're irreplaceable? I might be a... But can I tell you something? Ever since I said Beyonce, I got the hippie shakes. Can I tell you? God ain't like Beyonce. He ain't looking for another you. He made you the way he wants you, and he wants you. There's not another one of you taking your place because you ain't growing on the, you know... Now, he wants you to grow, don't get me wrong, but we got to get that right. God wants every saved person to grow. He wants every person to be saved. Don't mix that up because you end up with an empty religion, right? All right, let's look at some of this. Let's get in there. I love this. God says he destroys the wisdom of the wise. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. God's not just a little bit opposed. I wish they wouldn't have all those empty philosophies of things that turn people away from the true and living God. Oh, shucks. He's like, no. And he breaks it down. Every philosophy, every way of thinking, every way of life, every way of living, everything. And we don't live in an age where these grand philosophers that people, we're affected by them, but we don't live in that age where we like, become a disciple of some philosopher and stuff. We don't really know all that stuff, but I can tell you, we listen to people. I was talking to a man in this town, very well off, very well connected, very influential. I was talking to him about Jesus, and he told me this. My father said that Bible, that ain't the end all be all. And I don't have to, you know, I don't have to do all the things that it says. Just take what I want, leave what I don't. And I loved my father. I know he told me the truth. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be looking eyeball to eyeball with Jesus one day. And I wouldn't want to be up there saying, well, my daddy said. I want to be like Forrest, like the dude said, well, my mama said this and my mama said that. I don't want a mama said religion. I love my mama. And my mama is a good woman. She's got her own philosophies of things. But there ain't no defense between me and God to say, well, my mama said. Those are the kind of philosophies a lot of times we'll pick up on. Somebody influential in our life will say something, and we'll take that to heart. Can I tell you something? You need to base it on the message of the cross, not the wisdom of the day. Because whatever wisdom came back in this time when this was written, in the height of Greek philosophy, it all went away too. It's all vanished and kind of gone in underground and all that stuff. It couldn't last. It couldn't look eyeball to eyeball with the living God. God outlasts every one of those fake things. But every time something new comes up, everybody acts like it's wonderful. It's like the emperor's new clothes. Y'all remember that story? People will come up and say, oh, the way to live. You don't, God, the Bible, and Christianity, and all the principles, and being saved. Man, you don't need to be saved. Let me tell you about how God is just everything, and God is just everybody, and it's all okay. As long as you're sincere about your love, it just seems to be okay. Can I tell you, that's the emperor's new clothes. I hear people all the time, religion's all the same, God's all the same, it's all the same stuff. It's the emperor's new clothes. Do y'all remember that story? What was the truth about the emperor's new clothes? They didn't exist. They were false. It was made up, right? They got everybody pumped up. Tell the emperor how pretty his clothes are. But he was walking around in his drawers all pompous and thinking he had something going on. We listen to celebrities talk about stuff. There's a religion in our country made up by a science fiction writer that got a lot of celebrities in it who a lot of people follow it, and it ain't nothing. You go, what is it? Tell me what it is. To whom does it connect? Where's the? It's nothing. One of the largest religions of our day was made up by a crazy man in a cave back in the 6th century A.D. Sitting there sweltering in the Middle East, having visions, writing it down, and a billion people are swayed by this, but it's the emperor's new clothes. Don't buy into everything is the same. Don't buy into that. There ain't but one God and one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Every other philosophy will be crushed. It don't matter. Why am I still preaching about Christ today? Why do I still preach from Genesis? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth because he's the real deal. He'll outlast all those other things. You ever hear of Zoroaster? He was a philosopher back in the time of the New Testament. Zoroastrianism was a big deal. There's actually been a little mini revivals of Zoroastrianism in our time because people get bored and they start looking at stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, who cares? It's going to come again. It's going to go again. It's all that stuff. But Christ remains the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And he loves you. He died for you. Don't ever forget it. Amen. And being attached to him through the message of the cross, that's the only way to be. Amen. Sometimes people are offended. And in this passage, I think we get some reasons why they might be offended at the message of the cross. But the same things that offends them excites me. Okay? Here it is. First thing. A lot of times I'll say the message of the cross is too simple. It's just too simple. You mean to say that God just loves us, so he sent his son to die for us so that we can live with him forever? Yep. Didn't you go to seminary school or something? Isn't there something more? Could you give me something more than that? Could you embellish a little bit? Nope. It's like, that's it. Man, you're sinners. God loves us. He sent his son to die for us. Gives us eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus loves us. This we know, for the Bible tells us so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. We always want to complicate things. We want to make it so stinking hard. We want a law. I'm going to pass on to you this law. Follow it in every detail. You know, in the New Testament, the Jewish guys who are like Peter stands up in the midst of a bunch of Jewish guys who are trying to tell all these new Gentile believers that they have to follow the law of Moses. And this is what Peter says in the midst of them in Acts chapter 15. We couldn't do that, dude. We couldn't keep that law. We failed, and we're saved by the grace of God. Why would we pass this junk on to somebody else? Why would we bondage them? Why don't we just keep it simple and say, Jesus saves you. Let him grow you. That's what they said right back in then. They say it's too simple. I praise God it's too simple, because I'm simple. Second thing that's offensive, it's conveyed through flawed folks. I love this one. This is kind of personal. This kind of gets personal. Verse 21, it says to them, I'm sorry, it pleased God. So this is a God thing. It pleased God that through the message preached to save those who believe. Through the message preached. Well, if you're going to be having a message preached, what do you got to have? You can get a better looking one, you can get a better talking one, you can get all kinds, they come in all shapes and sizes, but you're going to have to listen to a preacher. And can I tell you something I know about preachers? At present company excluded. They're not perfect people. Man, they got flaws, failures, sin, they're goofy, they're sometimes inconsistent. They got all the problems that, let's see, regular people got. I wonder why that is. Because, maybe because they're, Trish says, because you're regular? Yes, I am. Just people. I'm husky. He was listening, huh? I'd go to the Sears store, and my mama would drag me all over the place shopping for jeans, and she couldn't find any, so she'd go, where's the Huskies? Where's the Husky boy jeans? I'm like, can we just not say that? You know, they were getting on the microphone. We got a fat kid over here who needs some Husky jeans. Can we get somebody? You might need to bring a tape measure. Yeah, two tape measures. We got any elastic? Something stretchy. That's how I do now. I'm a 42 size waist. But there's some elastic in here that's groaning. It's like, ah! Trying to hold on. But it's going to make it. You know, the message of the cross is conveyed through flawed people. People who have experienced sin and failure and who have cried out to Jesus to be saved. And that ain't going to change. He calls us to convey it. It's not just preachers who convey it either, right? When I was saved, there wasn't a preacher in the room. As a friend. A friend who knew Jesus and his dad. That's who led me to Jesus. Not one. My friend's a preacher now, and I'm a preacher now, but there weren't no preachers in the room at the moment. Weren't in a church house. Were those guys who led me to the Lord perfect? Not by any means. My best friend, I knew every goofy thing he had ever done in his life. And yet, when he shared the message of the cross, God's Spirit awakened me to it. And it became not about who was saying it. It became about the message. And that was huge. So don't let the flawed individuals who are sharing interrupt the perfect message of the cross. Sometimes people get offended because our best efforts won't ever be accepted. And I've kind of hit this already, but do you notice it? It says, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That galls people. Even if they're up front, they're like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. But how much credit do I get again for showing up? It's like, no, you all right, back up. It's for those who believe. Oh, that's great. That's great. But am I closer to heaven now that I've done this and it? Wait. Your best efforts. You can glorify God. I don't want to get us to be an effortless church, except for in this. Let us remember, it'll never be about our works. It'll always be about our faith and who did it for us. Every work just comes on top of that. It just is. It's our blessing. It's not the way we're saved. It's our blessing. Let him save you through faith. For you have been saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Get it? Boasting is excluded. By what law? By faith. Because it wasn't you that earned it. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Not for all that he did, but that he believed God. That's why we call him the father of faith. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Sometimes people are offended, lastly, because it puts all its eggs in one basket. The message of the cross puts all its eggs in one basket. And you know what? Ordinarily, that's not a good philosophy. If we were talking about finances, we would say, you need to diversify. You need a, what are those things? A mutual fund. You need to have a piece of this and a piece of that, and you need to be all diversified out in case something fails, and then you won't be stuck holding the bag. You know what I'm saying? This is wise business, baby. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Well, with finances and investments in this world, probably a good idea. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's different. Not a good idea. You put everything on him. He can handle it. Put every sin on him. He can handle it. Put every shortcoming, doubt, goofiness, flawedness, every addiction, every struggle and recovery, put everything on him. Say this in your mind. If he fails, we all fail. If he goes down, we all go down. I don't got my foot resting on something else. I'm not resting one foot on the shore and one foot on the life raft called Jesus. I'm in the life raft. And if it sinks, I die. Yeah, but that's all right. They've tried to sink him. You know, they killed him. They put him in the grave. And they found out he's a floater. He ain't a sinker. You know what I'm saying? 3 days later, what happened? Up from the grave, he arose. Why do we meet on Sunday? Because we are here in celebration of the life that couldn't be stopped. The God who wouldn't be moved. The one who said, I'm coming. I'm alive. I am who I am. And I'm saving you. We count on him. We count on him. And you can't beat God. One of the things that people try to do is beat God. I put it in here, you can't beat God. God can't lose at chess, and God can't lose at arm wrestling. You know what's weird about chess and arm wrestling? When guys get together, they always try to figure out who's toughest. And just in case, that's me, and y'all rest can fight for it. No, but here's one of the things they want to do. If they want to test you intellectually, if they have time, they're going to play chess. Chess is a strategy game. Chess is about seeing if you know the moves and if you can do the stuff and you can move the pieces. I literally had a guy who was coming in and out of town. We helped him out, and he said, I want to play chess against you. After he said that the highest virtue to him was intellectualism, he said, I want to play chess against you. I was like, okay. And we played chess. He was trying to test me, see if I was smart. If you want to test a man's strength, then you got time. It's old-fashioned now, but you know what you do. You roll it up. You get at a table. Put it down there and say, come on. Come on. And you arm wrestle it out. You see who's toughest. Now, that's maybe for younger men. I'm kind of past it. But point is, when it comes to God, the Bible says God's weakness is stronger than your strongness. God's foolishness is wiser, smarter than your wisdom. You can't beat God, is what he's saying, period. You can't beat him at chess with your brain. You can't out-strategize him. You can't out-scheme him, scam him, or any other thing. There ain't no end-around plan. I know people always plan. I got this plan, and what I'm going to do is work this plan. Get a plan and work the plan. There ain't no plan that works against God. And there's no strength that works against God. There's no muscle, no effort, no anger. I know people think that they can get all charged up in their anger or their frustration or I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. Nobody can stop me. God is not shaking up in heaven going, oh, my goodness, how am I going to stop him? But you got an expiration date. God don't got to worry about you. He loves you, but you're no threat. All of us together are no threat. We can't arm wrestle God and win. We're not stronger than them. We're not smarter than them. We ought to just give in and say, Lord, help us. Lord, save us. And now this is this last part, the message of the cross. I want to talk about where it puts us. It says in verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. Church, if I can convey something that I want you to just get, I want us to get this. I want you to get how much God loves you. I want you to see you from God's perspective. I want you to understand what it means to be in Christ. God ain't looking at your flaws. God's not ignorant of your flaws. God's not ignorant of your sins. But he's looking at you through Christ. And Christ is perfect. Christ is our everything. He's looking at you through his beloved son. So you know what that means? He's looking at you as a beloved son. He's looking at you as one he loves. His heart beats for his son. And we are in him. And he loves us. Y'all get that? We are placed in Christ through the message of the cross. And it's that placement that gives us a right to pray, a right to grow and all those things. But you'll come to recognize that Jesus is everything. Jesus is our all in all in this. Whew. He came to save sinners like us. Nobody gets to brag. And his mission will be accomplished in us. And that's the part I want us to look at. God wants us to live wisely And you say, you know what? Jesus Christ is our wisdom. You ain't going to find wisdom that's going to be bringing you closer to God outside of Jesus Christ. Y'all see where it says that in the Word? For he put us in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. He is our wisdom. He is our way of living, of thinking. It's in him. Furthermore, he is our righteousness. Everybody wants to get an attaboy or an attagirl for doing a good job. Well, let me give it to you now. Attaboy, attagirl, you did good. But the righteousness that stands before God only comes through Christ. That's it. Christ is our righteousness. And I know we all want to be righteous, and we want our kids to be righteous, and we want to be holy, and God says be holy. I get it. But there ain't no holiness, and there ain't no righteousness that counts for anything in heaven except for that which comes through God, through Christ to us. He is our righteousness. Y'all get that? He is. Nobody else. I got no other right reason to stand before God except for Jesus Christ. This next one blows people's minds, I think. He is also our sanctification. Sanctification is the word for spiritual growth. How is it that I grow in the Lord? Well, let me get out here and start doing all these things, and let me start getting all this stuff, and hold on, Jesus. I'm growing spiritually. Can't talk to you now, Jesus. I'm in the middle of a growth pattern. I'm having a growth spurt, Jesus. Look at how good I'm doing. No! Your spiritual growth is tied directly into Jesus Christ. No other. He doesn't buy us through salvation and farm us out to be growed somewhere. He is our spiritual growth. He is our sanctification. Period. Everybody's looking for something else, some powerful message besides the cross. Yeah, brother, I appreciate you preaching salvation, but you don't preach much on sanctification. Well, you don't read much of your Bible. Because Jesus Christ, who is our salvation, is also our sanctification. Period. That was kind of rude what I just said, wasn't it? That's all right, though. Sometimes it's got to be. Because it don't get deeper than Jesus. It don't get more sanctified than Jesus. It doesn't get more spiritual and mystical and all this other stuff than Jesus. He is it, our sanctification. He is also our redemption. To redeem something means to bring it back. What brings you back to where you're supposed to be? Well, I followed this plan, and I did this, and I said, and I lit a candle, and I did all this, and blah, blah, blah. No, man, listen to me. Jesus is how you come back. Jesus is our redemption. If you need to repent, you're going to repent in Jesus' name. He's the one. When God accepts us back, he accepts us back in Christ, not based on your efforts, not based even on your want to. I really, really want to come back. I wish I could. Oh, but I can't. You know what it said of Esau? He really wanted to come back. It says with tears. He realized what he had done, how he had forsaken God, how he lived a life of somebody who was just all in the flesh and immoral, and he wanted to come back. He wanted it. But the idea we get is this. He didn't submit to God. He wanted to come back his way. He just wanted it. Just wanting it ain't nothing. The idea is coming to him, allowing him to be our buyback, our redemption. He's our glory. At the end of the day, you and I are going to have nothing, nothing, nothing to pat ourselves on the back about. At the end of the day, nobody's going to say, well, praise God for my Sunday school teacher. Now, listen, praise God for Sunday school teachers. I'm happy for them. I'm glad to be able to get one. And this is a shameless plug. Come to Sunday school. But can I tell you this? When we get to heaven, it's all going to be about Jesus. There won't be no glorying in not even my sweet mama or grandmama who prayed for me. You know why she prayed? Because she was saved by Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb. You know why your Sunday school teacher was faithful to break the word open to you and have patience with you and help you grow? Because she was saved, or he was saved, and he got the opportunity to share that with you. And you know, if they're saved and they're sharing the word, you know who gets the glory? The one who saved them, the one who sanctified them, the one who gave them wisdom, the one who redeemed them, the one in whose righteousness they stand alone. He gets all the glory. Let him who brags, who glories, who shouts amen, shout amen and glory in the Lord, in him only. Y'all get it? All right, that's the message of the cross. That's where we got to get to before we start adding on and before we start going into this growth mode and correction mode. You got to get firm here. You need, if you're not saved, you need to be saved here. Okay? If you're here and you're like, man, I've never crossed that line. Had it in my mind, thought about it, but I've never crossed that line. Don't come here and get religified. Come here to meet Jesus Christ and find everything you need in Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And I pray that You, Lord, through Your power, Your Spirit, through Your Word, which is standing and is going to stand forever, as long as the sun is standing, and even longer, Your Word will stand. And so, Father, I pray that if there's any here who've never crossed that line, they've never come to that point where they say, I surrender. Okay, I'm going to stop trying to be saved, and I'm just going to let You save me. Just, Father, would You save them? And, Father, for us who sometimes get so complicated, or maybe we get so worldly, and we start thinking that the simplicity of the gospel just wouldn't work in a complicated time like ours. Slap us in the head, Lord, and get us right back on You and see how You're everything. Oh, Lord, give us a Jesus revival. Give us a loved by God revival, and help us to be that church. Not perfect people, but those who realize how perfect You are, perfectly loved by You and perfectly placed in Your hands for salvation. Lord, we love You. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time. If you'd like to give your life to the Lord, if you'd just like to say, I need to walk with Him in a fresh new way, whatever it is that God spoke to you about, you can do that while you're here. But God never stops working, but this is your time.
to start here. Nothing else in the Christian life makes sense if your life hadn't been given to God. You don't got to do that here, but you can.
Just ask you, you think about it. If you're waiting for something, ask what you're waiting for. If you're trying something, ask what are you trying? When will you just say, God, I'm going to let you save me. I'm going to stop resisting. I'm going to stop making sense of it. I'm going to stop rationalizing. I'm going to let you save me. If you need to make that decision, don't move on from there. Whether it's here or later, don't move on and try to add things to something that ain't started. Make your decision deep with God and get saved. Ushers, if they come, would come for the morning offering. And just a reminder, man, whatever God has started, the Bible says He'll be faithful to complete it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if He started something in you, look for Him to finish it. Look for Him to bring it on, okay? It's just exciting. But in this passage, the Bible wanted to set apart and say the message of the cross is so far from any other religion or philosophy. It's not any of that. It's a relation. It's a way to know the true and living God, to know His love and His forgiveness. Father God, I pray that You'd continue to do Your work in us, and I pray for this offering that You would bless us in it. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. That's such a good song. By way of reminder, I had reminders in my mind. Small groups, that's it. If you facilitate small groups, I have your sheets up here for the groups tonight. If you're not plugged into a small group yet, come talk to us. We're trying to grow them. What small groups do is get people together in small groups, talking about the Bible, talking about Jesus, talking about the things that was just preached on. It's a good thing. The Grenada group will meet here. Then we have a group over at Randy and Sherry Christmas house, one at Kim Bell's house, and one up at the Stokely's house. And so come talk to me if you're interested in it. We'll try to get you plugged in, but come see me if you're leading it. I have the papers up here. Trying to think what else. Wednesday night service. We're going through the Bible. We're just telling the story of God's story in story form, and we're going to be looking at the story of Noah. We're in Genesis. That's the place we started, and we're just going through. So if you want to just come and be a part of that, 6:30 adults on Wednesday. Children's ministry starts at 6, but just come on. And I think that's it. Except for say, I love you. I see some friends I haven't seen. Just glad to see people visiting and people back from in wheelchairs, but still glad to see you. Just glad about that. So hug somebody, tell them you love them. Don't take anything for granted and give God the praise, all right? I love you all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let me pray. Father, thank you. And as we go, bless us, be with us, protect us, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready? Break.